I think we can move on to the Blue Jays if you guys are okay with that. Yep. I'm just going to quickly talk about the Blue Jays real quick to introduce one of the most hyped up teams in the AL East this year. I think there's a lot of guys hopping on that Blue Jays train, drinking the Kool-Aid. They got a lot of key additions. They did lose a couple guys that were Cy Young and second to MVP on that team last year. In Robbie Ray, the AL Cy Young, obviously, and Marcus Semien, who had a historical season as a second baseman. Maybe one of the best offensive seasons a second baseman has ever had, if you count out Robinson Cano, maybe in 2012. But yeah, he had 45 home runs as a second baseman. That doesn't happen. They lost those two guys, and they plugged some guys in. Gausman, Kikuchi, second year of Berrio, full year of Berrios. Ryu still there, Manoah full season, and their lineup is their bread and butter. I mean, they got Springer at the top, Vladdy MVP, Teoscar most underrated player, Bo Bichette a rising superstar. You just go down the list: Lourdes Gurriel Jr., one of the most underrated players offensively, Matt Chapman, who could have a bounce back year. He's projected to have 37 home runs or something. I saw, maybe not 35, like 35 ish. Which is crazy to think that they just added someone at the bottom of their lineup projected to have over 30 home runs. Kevin Biggio, he hasn't reached his potential yet, but he's at the bottom of the lineup in a great lineup. He's going to feel comfortable. And they just picked up the catcher from White Sox, Zach Collins. And they needed a lefty bat. They just plugged that guy in. I mean, this team on paper is one of the most complete teams, I think, in the American League. Let me know what you guys think about the Blue Jays. Are you guys in on the hype? Ollie.
Yes, I have a lot to say about the Blue Jays. Beginning with the pitching. So this is one of the best rotations that's been assembled in the AL East in our lifetime. This is a historic rotation that we're looking at right here. I'm on that train because it's so deep. There are pitchers beyond even what they have in those top five. Young pitchers, a lot of talent. Nate Pearson, Thomas Hatch. And so it seems like, obviously, with any good starting rotation, the thing you worry about most is injury. But I think these guys are almost injury-proof because Berrios has really never been hurt in his career. Gausman's never really been hurt. Ryu has had some injury trouble in the past. But basically, I mean, Kevin Gausman is so filthy. And I think that his skills are going to translate even in a much tougher pitching environment against much better hitters because, well, what he did last season was make a genius mechanical adjustment, basically decide he's going to throw his splitter 40% of the time and let go of his secondary pitches, except for his pretty good slider. And I think the splitter right now is the most effective pitch in the MLB. And teams that have guys who throw good splitters are going to do really well. That's why I like the Angels a lot too for this year. And so Gausman, I think, can ride that pitch to easily, you know, 4.5 wins above replacement again. His ERA probably won't be as low because it was a little bit deflated. But with him and Berrios atop that rotation, you know, I think this could be a year that Berrios really breaks out in a way that he hasn't quite in his career, because his stuff is so nasty. It kind of surprises me that he hasn't actually had like a Corey Kluber type season yet. He's got great strikeout numbers. I think it's because he relies so much on the sinker, which tends to be more of a ground ball pitch. But I like that they got a guy who gets tons of ground balls in Rogers Center, because it kind of cuts down on the home runs, and Chapman at third base is going to help snatch up a lot of those. So Berrios' ERA should be even lower. And you've heard me talk about Alek Manoah so much, I don't even need to say any more about Manoah. You know how much I'm obsessed with him. But yeah, so I love that pitching. I'm sorry I'm going on at length, but the lineup, of course, is just delicious. It's just heavenly to look at those names. They could score 1,000 runs, hit 300 home runs. The only problem they had was they didn't have good lefty bats, but they signed Tapia, and as you said, their backup pitcher Zach Collins. I didn't like their catching situation much last season. I wasn't crazy about the Jansen McGuire thing, but now that they have Alejandro Kirk, I think ready to break
Kirk
out.
Mashes.
They also have Gabriel Moreno, their number one prospect, a really strong catching.
I want to talk about
Alejandro Kirk is a guy I have a lot of faith in. I'm not crazy about the Zach Collins trade. Obviously, McGuire was pretty terrible, not a lot of options, but Zach Collins, I think, just kind of a tertiary catcher at this point. But you know, we know their lineup. We know these guys are crazy. Santiago Espinal is also a guy who can hit pretty well. He's underrated. Hit 311 last year. He can spell someone like, he gets some at bats, you know, in the infield. The only guy that really got rid of was Randall Grichuk, who's not much of a loss. And so friggin' George Springer's a leadoff man.
Well,
like, what? You know.
All right, for the New York Yankees, that's a huge win. But
Yeah, Grichuk killed
us. Oh, Grichuk.
yeah. He turned into Babe Ruth every time he came to Yankee Stadium.
If I can just say one more very quick thing, the only reason that they didn't win 110 games last year was their horrible bullpen, because they had a great run differential, but they lost a lot of close games because they had clowns like Rafael Dolis and Tyler Chatwood trying to get outs. But
Tyler, yeah, I think we touched on that. Tyler Chatwood.
Shout out King Tyler Chatwood. Yeah, we talked about him before. But now they've got Romano back there. They have a good lefty situation with Meza Baruki. Well, a decent lefty situation. And they brought in Yimi Garcia and your old boy David Phelps. So they've been shoring up their bullpen. They have some reliable arms back there. And if they can solve that one problem, bro, look out. World Series team.
Do you want to go over the MVP picks and the Cy Young?
Sure, yeah. Sure. So
don't be afraid to go for the obvious picks.
I will not go for the obvious picks.
I know. Ollie always has to go a different route. I want to hear it.
What's fun. Cy Young is Alek Manoah, of course.
Obviously.
No Cy Young.
I have the same one.
MVP, Bo Bichette. Breakout, Alejandro.
I have the same one.
No way. Okay, breakout, Alejandro Kirk. Rookie of the year, I actually said Palacios, Jose Palacios, not Moreno.
He's been looking really good this spring.
Yeah. Bounce back, I said Ross Stripling.
Okay. Isaac, you want to go?
Like I said, I have Alek Manoah, I have Bo Bichette. For breakout, I have Matt Chapman. And before you say, how can he be a breakout if he's already kind of a superstar?
I like it. I buy that.
He's been very...
I like it. No, I'm into it.
I'm into it, too.
He's been very bad. Or not bad, offensively. And obviously, there's factors like playing in the Coliseum is obviously a big factor. But I just think that he'll be, like, you know, rejuiced and refueled and ready to go. And I really see him, especially in that lineup behind guys like Vladdy and Bichette and Springer, really performing well and having one of his best seasons of his career.
I agree.
I like that. Okay. And then your last.
I think easy pick. I have Gabriel Moreno. It's just like, I mean, they don't really have a lot of catching. They have do they still have Alejandro Kirk?
Yeah, they do. Kirk, yeah.
They have
Kirk.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have Kirk as a DH this year, and they have Zach Collins and Danny Jansen splitting time behind the plate.
Got you. And then last comeback player, I have Biggio, which seems a little weird because he doesn't really have a place on this team. But I just think that he in the past he's been such a touted prospect. And he's kind of falling behind or way behind Vladdy and the other people he came up with, Bichette. So, you know, maybe he gets a little, you know, attitude this year and goes out there and shows what he can do at the MLB level.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I'm now questioning whether you guys met up beforehand without me to collude on these picks because I have different picks again. Cy Young, I have Jose Berríos. I kind of talked about him in my top 10 list, so not much to go into there. MVP, I have Vladdy again. I think he's just such a good hitter that nothing can stop him at this point. Breakout player of the year, let me get out my list. I had Kevin Biggio. I think he has struggled tremendously, but his on-base percentage and his on-base skills is something that this Blue Jays team, I feel like at the end of the year, could even slide up to that one or two spot in the lineup, setting the table for these big boppers behind him. Rookie of the year. I want to go Gabriel Moreno, but I was just wondering if what's his name, Nate Pearson, is still classified as a rookie.
Ooh, good question.
I think he is.
Is he?
So they sent him down. They sent him back down to AAA to work on a lot of things. He was like one of the top guys. I drafted him last year in the draft. I really like Nate Pearson.
He has exceeded rookie limits, so he's not actually.
Oh, he
a
has.
Anymore.
He was. Yeah. Otherwise, I think he went up and down a couple of times too many times. Yeah. So I guess Moreno is my option there.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was the seventh best prospect in all of MLB, which is crazy. He's one
it's
above
unfair.
Anthony
Volpe. It's unfair
to
have all these guys.
It's unfair. Yeah, is he? But like, I have a question: is he like a trade piece at the middle of the year, or is he going to be a cornerstone of his team?
Cornerstone.
Something to
think
about.
I mean, you have to look at what they need.
If they
want to look at what they need, do they need pitching?
There's been rumors that they want to go after Jose Ramirez for second base. Like, it would take a Gabriel Moreno to get that guy. If it's not Jose Ramirez, I don't know. Do you go after an ace?
Jose Ramirez on that team, bro, that would break baseball.
I mean, they were going after Freddie Freeman.
Do you think Biggio would go in that package?
I I don't want to get in, I have no idea about the Blue Jays prospects to get into a package for Jose Ramirez, but it would take a whole King's ransom, Gabriel Moreno included. Bounce back player of the year, I'm not sure. I had that blank. Looking at the list, I did like Isaac's pick of Matt Chapman. I look back to when Donaldson was traded over from the A's and broke out on the scene. I think Chappie could have a similar resurgence with that team. With the new team.
Don't give him a nickname. You don't know him.
Chappie?
He's not a Yankee.
All right, sorry.
Don't call him Chappie.
Matthew Chapman.
There we go.
I guess anything else on the Blue Jays? They're kind of just... Everything's been said about them, but if you guys have any last
words... Yeah, bro. I mean, Blue Jays. Just... They're fantastic. I'm just like... You know, not a lot of playoff experience in that team. I'm just sort of thinking how deep they'll make it when. I'm going to say when they get to the postseason. I think it's a conclusion this year. We'll see how deep they can get.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, my question when I wrote this was before the Zach Collins trade. So I was maybe a lefty bat. Maybe Michael Conforter could slide into that DH spot, possibly. I don't know. There are other lefty bats out there. But I guess Zach Collins fits their needs. They just cut Greg Bird, who had a really good spring. So we'll see. I think they're pretty set, though. Are we good with moving on to the next team? Isaac, you want to say some last words on Blue Jays? All right.
I'll save it for when we go over the standings.
Okay. Red Sox. Ollie, take it away.
All right. Well...
I'm muting my mic.
So this projection would have looked, this whole situation would have looked different about 10 days ago before we lost Chris Sale. And yet the Red Sox have started two consecutive seasons without Chris Sale. And last year they made the wild card and actually were in first place for much of the first half of the season without Chris Sale. So the Sox are going to live or die on pitching this year like they do every year. And, you know, it's all going to start with Eovaldi. And that dude is rock solid. He's a beast. It took him a long time to get his potential, but I know you guys are very sad that you let him go. His best pitch these days is actually, I think, the curveball more than the splitter. He's turned that into a disgusting weapon. It's his biggest strikeout pitch, even more than the fastball. He doesn't get elite spin on the fastball or curve, but the velocity's gone up every single season. You know, it was up to like 95.7 average last year. So he just keeps improving, and it seems like he's gotten over the injury bug. He's been healthy and nasty this whole spring. And yeah, he is just one of the most underrated. There's a reason he's my favorite player, dude. There's a reason his name's on the back of this jersey. He's one of the finest, most underrated pitchers in the league. He has the profile of a power pitcher, but he somehow still attacks hitters in the zone and gets weak contact. Like, if you were pitching on the Cardinals last year, his ERA probably would have been like 1.2 because he gets so many ground balls. Doesn't give up homers, led the league in FIP last year. You know, wins above replacement says it all. He was top five in the league. He, like, is filthy against the Yankees. Judge and Stanton are always chasing his slider. One home run to Stanton aside, that one bad at bat, he threw a cutter there. The cutter is Stanton the one pitch. I'm not the one cutter. The cutter, well, not totally. The cutter is the one pitch that I don't really love of his, even though it's high velocity and has a lot of movement. He just leaves it in the middle of the zone a little bit too much. He's 32, so I'm saying he's probably got two or three more good years as a veteran frontline starter before we hit the decline. So, you know, Eovaldi's still going to be nasty next year, but obviously behind him it can be a little bit of a black hole because you're kind of, without Sale, you're relying on Pivetta to kind of be the soaker of innings behind Eovaldi, the guy who can pitch deep into games. But he didn't go seven innings more than once last year. He only went seven innings once. And so Cora's going to have to rely on him more heavily this year. He hasn't really had an injury history, but he's just kind of an all-or-nothing risky business piece. Like, he's either fantastic or he's terrible. He either goes out and throws 6 2/3 no-hit innings against the Rays, or he gives up like 5 runs to the Marlins or something. It's no way to predict it. He can be amazing against the Blue Jays, a great lineup, and can be terrible against the Orioles. I think it's just with him, it's loads of talent. It's just about harnessing his off-speed stuff in the way that like Dylan Cease does. You know, he has one of the best curveballs in the game, has like 9 inches of vertical movement above average. It's just something disgusting like that. He has a ton of spin on his fastball. You guys saw him in the playoffs last year against the Rays. When he's on, he's simply unhittable. He's disgusting. He doesn't have a good kind of fourth pitch. The changeup gets rocked a bit. But my key stat for him is his expected ERA was 3.81, which is much lower than his actual ERA of 4.56. And that bodes well for a further breakout this season. He has gotten better every year he's been in the game. His numbers keep getting better, even though he was pitching at Fenway last year in that hitter's environment. So I do have hope for Pivetta, but not a lot of confidence, because I could easily see him. It's easier for me to see him having a solid like 3+ WAR season than it is for me to see him having a terrible season. But he's not going to turn into he's not going to turn into a 2013 Clay Buchholz anytime soon. You know, I'm also a Red Sox fan. Yeah. And behind Pivetta, you're kind of working with Tanner Houck. He also was better last year than the numbers show. He had a great strikeout rate, and his stuff is, of course, gross. There aren't many guys who throw a slider and a splitter that are that good. But he's young, and he does not have the experience acumen that he needs. He's
breakdowns of these pitchers. The question mark is the rotation. That's where me and Isaac will probably go at you for this argument. About the Red Sox, I think I have major issues with this rotation. I also saw today that Whitlock might start some games. I just want to hear your opinion on that.
He's starting in the bullpen this year. Yeah, so just briefly, I'll go through the last couple guys. So you got Houck there, nasty stuff. You know, had a 1.94 expected weighted against his slider. That's much better than what Garrett Cole had. Like, slider is disgusting. But his fastball is a little bit too hittable right now. And so...
yeah, better pitcher.
Houck is a better pitcher. Thank you.
Isaac?
I have a Red Sox quick question about the Red Sox rotation. Sure. Quick question. Where do you see James Paxton? Because I understand he's injured and he's not going to, he's going to be out for a couple more months. Where do you see him and Waka fitting in with this rotation?
Waka's right now the number 5 starter and will be, I think, until Paxton comes back or until Sale comes back.
Do you have Hill as a 4 starter?
The sad thing is that I have him as the, what's that?
Who do you have as your 4th starter?
So it's right now, it's 1 is Eovaldi, 2 Pivetta, 3 Houck, 4 Rich Hill, 5 Waka.
Okay.
The sad thing about the Sox rotation is kind of going to be like a bottom of the barrel contest between Rich Hill and Waka. Like, whoever's worse is going to get designated and replaced by James Paxton. I don't have a ton of faith in James Paxton right now. He's been injured for a long time. He's totally a wild card. And he was never a god-tier elite pitcher even at his best. He's like a number 3 at best. I imagined him coming in late July, kind of like what Sale did last year, and just giving Cora some innings. And it's important to have him. I mean, the depth is going to be valuable, but I'm not picking him up on my fantasy team anytime soon. So then, for the Sox, it's just what happened last year is they kind of the same thing they did last year. They signed 2 guys who were not really high valued, Gary Richards and Martin Perez, and they actually kind of carried them for a while, in May and June before they collapsed. They were well above average pitchers. And so I think Cora is hoping for the same thing from Hill and Waka. Hill's 42, obviously. I think Linus Dental throws a... I think Linus probably throws a harder fastball than Rich Hill right now. So, but, he's a curveball master, and that pitch is still effective in a way. He's kind of like almost Wakefield knuckleball right now. He's got one pitch that's just... he's mastered. He's mastered command of that. And,
I think, Sack Daddy, I think it's time that we stop being nice to Ollie and his Red Sox. This rotation is buns. They're so washed up, and they have a shit ton of question marks, way more than the Yankees. Me and Isaac get on here about the Yankees, and we talk about question marks of the Yankees rotation. I hear you talking about, if this guy lives up to his potential, if he finds his curveball, if there's so many more question marks than all the other American League. I don't want to give too much away about my predictions.
But this is just a bad rotation.
Terrible.
And on top of all of that, they play in Fenway. I mean, I don't see how you have any faith at all in this rotation.
Against 4 other juggernaut than lineups.
Like, and are you telling me, you're not shaking in your boots when you see the Toronto Blue Jays or the New York Yankees, any of those lineups coming into town, the White Sox lineup, all these AL juggernaut teams, I would be scared shitless.
And even Eovaldi,
ballpark with that rotation...
You praised Eovaldi but Eovaldi's a good pitcher. I like him. He's a solid pitcher. He is not a number 1 for a championship caliber team in any stretch of the imagination. He can be a 2 or a 3.
Okay.
He absolutely is.
When the Red Sox won the World Series, he was behind Chris Sale. The Red Sox, if they need to...
That was 4 years ago.
If the Red Sox were to win the AL East and even go further in the playoffs, Eovaldi can't be the number 1 pitcher. And the number 2 cannot be Pivetta. That there is just... way too much going on there that needs to go perfectly right for this team to win anything this year. And their rotation. And if you want to get into the bullpen talk, I know Ollie didn't touch upon that because he can't even spin the bullpen.
You didn't give me a chance. You didn't give me a chance. I was talking about Michael Wacha.
I mean,
Michael Wacha, he's washed up, couldn't pitch for the Mets. Other than crack that rotation. Rich Hill, he got tossed around a couple teams last year, raised in Mets, I think. Hauk, I think he plays better in the bullpen. Pivetta, he's a good number five, maybe. Bump him to the
Ryan
bullpen in the
Brazier?
Playoffs. Ryan Brazier with his tilted head. I mean, get your neck fixed before you get on the
so
mound.
So annoying.
Against
oh, my God.
Wow.
Maybe that's why he can't see, because he's like this.
Darwin's in Hernandez, your lone lefty over there in the bullpen.
I did not expect to fight this, to see this firing squad
and,
today, guys.
And on top of that, Matt Barnes is not repeating the season he had last year at all. He throws two pitches and one
Let's
that is
go,
extremely
baby.
Hittable.
I mean, Ollie, I'm sorry, man, but you're coming on to a Yankee podcast talking about the Red Sox.
A lot of things you're saying are factually inaccurate. You're saying Darwin's is the only lefty in the bullpen. That's not true. They have five lefties in the bullpen. Six when Josh Taylor comes back. He's hurt for opening day. And they signed,
that's another if.
If he comes back healthy. If he finds himself from, what, 5 years ago. If this guy loses seven.
Injury. You guys are making it sound much more dramatically terrible than it is. And you guys have plenty of question marks on your own pitching staff.
Oh, hey, Rich right. Hill, can you
and
lose about
not as
seven,
many as
eight,
you.
7 years on your age?
Bro,
bro,
bullpen has a lot more talent than you think, all right? Hirokazu Sawamura, your countryman, is a filthy pitcher. You remember that
game last year
where he went,
I've been
struck
watching
out six
him,
Yankees?
Okay. Can I talk to you about Sawamura? He has really good stuff. He has the upper 90s fastball with a 92 to like 94 splitter. I've seen him a lot in Japan too. When he breaks down, when he loses control, he can't throw a strike for the next 10 games. This is the guy he is. When he's on, he's filthy. But he's just gonna be a middle of the bullpen guy.
I'll take Koji
if that's what you're thinking.
Maybe not yet.
No,
oh, ye a little faith.
He's old. He started off as a starter. Just couldn't control the zone. He moves to the bullpen.
Don't forget Garrett Whitlock in Japan. Garrett Whitlock, bullpen ace, is still there.
Okay, Garrett Whitlock and Josh Taylor. I think that's his name, right? Josh Taylor.
Josh Taylor's ass. Don't even give me that.
No, he's not. He would.
No. Josh Taylor's not terrible, but
Stanton.
The point is. The point is when you're starting Rich Hill and he's able to give you three with four earned runs, who are you bringing into the bullpen for the next five innings or however many innings I said?
Can Kike pitch?
That's the issue. I don't know.
I think you guys are forgetting.
Jackie Bradley Jr. could get up there.
The Sox made several signings over the offseason, including Jake Diekman, Matt Strom, underrated lefties, guys who've had success at the big league level over the years.
Oh, guys, they've had success before.
Jake Diekman's like 45.
Jake Dean was like 30, bro. Get out of here. Let me check his age right now. He might be 33. But.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not as old as I thought, but still.
He's, you know, Kyan Bloom's trying to Tampa Bay Ray this Red Sox bullpen right now. And because I'm a Red Sox fan, I will get on the soapbox and argue for him. Is it hard?
He's 35.
Is it hard to find things to work with? Yes. This is a bit of a Rube Goldberg machine of a bullpen. But hey, man, everyone thought this bullpen was going to suck last year, too. And it was one of the strengths of the team, kind of cobbled together.
I think happening
here. Well, because they didn't know that Garrett Whitlock was going to be insane.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Isaac. That's true. There are things that you don't know. Wow, what a profound observation from
Mr.
Spear.
Okay,
this is perfect.
Isaac, I got your back.
Looking strictly on paper, okay.
I got your back. Last year, I think a lot of, like Ollie included, a lot of people looking into this AL East, they're going off of what the Red Sox were last year.
Exactly.
And they're saying they added these players. These guys are coming back. But that's just not how I look at this team. They were a huge surprise last year. Last year, they were projected to win less than 82 games. They're projected to go under 500. I think last year was an aberration. They obviously have a great lineup. But their pitching, they had a huge surprise. They got good innings out of Richards, and they got good innings out of, I don't know, who was the other guy you talked about?
Martin Perez.
Perez, yeah. They got good innings out of these guys that they were kind of flyers, and I can't expect them to go back-to-back years taking two flyers on Wacha, Rich Hill, and Paxton, and then them panning out like they did last year. And then Whitlock, who knows if he's Whitlock again this year. He had one great season. Let's see him do it for a couple years before... We group him with the
best. You guys are also acting like Chris Sale is not going to come back all season. Chris Sale is out for like 5 weeks.
Chris
most.
Sale, that
like
man hasn't given a good chunk of a season in what? 3 years? 2 years?
2019. So neither has Luis Severino, your number three starter.
Yeah, but okay, is he healthy right now? Who's healthy right
now?
And who's rubbing his rib?
And also, who's old? Who's old?
Thank you. And who's
Chris
Sale's like a great dominant player when he's there?
And Seve's in his prime.
Seve's like 24, 25.
Seve's in his prime, and he's built like a fucking truck. Chris Sale, the wiry Linus-looking kid, he's not going to stay healthy at all the way he throws 98 from the side, left side. There's just no way that Lank
tell that to Randy
field.
Johnson.
Randy, you can't
you're comparing him to Randy Johnson
you can't
now?
Compare everyone to Randy. Randy Johnson is
hey,
once
man.
In a lifetime.
Hey, man. Yeah. How many Yankees
Hill
pitchers
like
in the
Johnson?
Last 10 years? How many Yankees pitchers in the last 10 years have struck out 300 men in a season? Oh, that's right. Oh, that.
Garrett
oh,
Cole.
Is it zero?
Garrett
oh,
Cole?
I think it might
excuse
be zero.
Me. Garrett Cole
when he was on the Astros. When he was on the Houston Astros. Oh, that's right.
He was.
Oh, that's right.
What team
okay.
is he on
thanks
now?
For
he's what matters
still on
now?
The Yankees.
He's on the Yankees now.
Okay.
I mean,
all right, guys. You know what? How about let's move on here. This is getting a little ridiculous.
No.
Let's
I mean,
move
I kind of. I kind of want to talk
my
about
God.
A couple things, nice things about the Red Sox. Their lineup is
can
scary.
We,
okay. Their lineup
hold
is
on,
scary.
Hold on, hold on, hold
I'm
on.
Be honest.
Can we go over our awards, me and Ken's awards, just real quick for,
sure.
for
yeah,
the categories? Because I feel
let's
like we never even got to
let's
that.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
All right. So I'm gonna start off for
Cy Young
easy
Rich
pick,
Hill,
Eovaldi. For no,
I'm kidding,
no,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
For MVP, I have Devers, obviously. For breakout player of the year, I have Kike Hernandez. I love Kike. I think he just has a
is
great
that a
attitude,
breakout?
But that's not why I'm taking him, Ollie. Yes, because, I mean, before the playoffs last
there.
Year, he wasn't
250,
yeah,
20,
good,
80.
But I feel like he's, I don't know, I feel like he's going to really step it up this year. But we got to move on. So I have Jaren Duran, obviously, for Rookie of the Year.
I love that
and then
pick.
I
that's
have,
my pick,
I had James, and then I had James Paxton for Bounce Back Player of the Year. But I know he's coming back after the All-Star break, but he may be able to help. You got to see what his velo is at and what his stuff looks like. But, yeah, those are my picks.
Ollie?
Yes, so I have my Cy Young. I picked Garrett Whitlock because I love Whitlock, and I always do the weird pick. MVP, Trevor Story. Breakout, Tanner Houck. Rookie of the Year, Tristan Cassis, and Bounce Back.
Over Xander Endeavors?
Bounce Back, Jackie Bradley yeah. Jr.
I also, Ollie, I'd hate to agree with you on the Red Sox, but I also had Trevor Story as my MVP. Just because he impacts the game in all facets of the game, I would have picked Xander. I love Xander, but his glove just scares me. I think in terms of wins above replacement, Trevor Story is going to be better there. And Devers, obviously, that would be the obvious pick, but kind of wanted something different. Went with Trevor Story. Cy Young, I went with Eovaldi as well. I think Isaac did that. Rookie of the Year, Tristan Cassis. He is kind of nice. I only saw him play for Team USA in the Olympics. He looked pretty good. I didn't have a breakout player of the year. I kind of just didn't. I thought of a name and then didn't want to talk about that with Ollie. Bounce back player of the year. I kind of don't want to talk about that as well. But, no, don't worry about it. Jackie Bradley Jr. maybe bounce back player of the year. Just in terms of defense, I don't want to give him too much credit because that's a talking point where I bash the
Red
Sox.
He's just so bad offensively.
Yeah, he has a noodle for a bat. Ollie, any last words on the Red Sox?
Yes, you guys are both idiots.
Clowns?
Who don't understand baseball. Sorry, what was I going to say? Yeah,
okay.
You're both clowns. No, I'm kidding.
Gotcha.
I yeah,
can't wait
so,
to get to the
listen,
Yankees,
man.
Bro. Holy shit. Isaac, be ready to defend yourself. Get your lawyer internship skills.
The Red Sox have excellent management. Alex Cora is an elite manager. Should have won Manager of the Year last year. That guy could probably win with a team of little leaguers.
Let's go. Let's count on our fucking manager who sits in the dugout
that's
all game.
That's not a good argument for your team.
He is
yeah,
a good
what?
Manager. Listen, man, we've seen good managers transform teams before. Trevor Story is a huge signing. And if a team can score 850 runs, that's usually a good sign. They'll finish well above 500 and maybe in wildcard contention. You guys
last
are underestimating
question.
The impact
they're not,
of, an, of a
they're
really,
not repeating that.
Last question. How specifically is Alex Cora helping with Darwin's and Hernandez?
And you could say no answer.
He actually, I wrote, you know what, I read an article the other day, which was, in fact, Cora talking at length about Darwin's and Hernandez and how he wants to use him.
Was this from the Boston Globe?
It was MLB.com, an impartial, unbiased source.
Okay.
And reflecting on the fact that Hernandez still has elite stuff, He still has an excellent fastball and a good slider. Has he had control troubles? Sure.
Giancarlo Stanton, do young troubles?
Do young troubles? Do young pitchers? Oh, I mean, come on, bro. I have hella clips I can play of the Yankees getting rocked by the Sox, dude. But
there
clips,
it goes.
You know,
Landon Street, watch out, heads.
Darwin Hernandez is actually, not going to be the best reliever
continue,
in the major
sorry.
Leagues, but he can be above average.
Anyway. I could have told you that.
Well, you should have.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
We'll touch
ahead.
Back
Yankees
on the Red
time.
Sox when we do the time. Predictions. But Yankees time. Isaac, we got a team up here to defend ourselves. But the New York Yankees, the franchise with 27 championships, going for 28 this year. Led by manager Aaron Boone, Captain Aaron Judge. We got Garrett Cole, Severino, Tyone, Monty, Cortez as the rotation. Our lineup is just deep, deep, deep. Rizzo, Judge, Gallo, Stanton, Donaldson, Hicks, Glaber, Falefa, Higashioka, and you have DJ roaming around everywhere. Our key additions, I talked about, me and Isaac kind of talk in length about the Yankees on most of our episodes, so don't have to do too much there. Kiner, Falefa, Donaldson, main additions, main subtractions, obviously Urshela and Gary, that one big trade kind of was the Yankees offseason. But yeah, they had 92 wins last year. And yeah, go for it, Isaac. Take it away.
I just had a moment where I'm looking at this lineup and like I'm kind of in love with it right now. Like,
yeah,
this
baby,
might be the
let's
fact that I'm
go.
Excited for baseball season to start. But that lineup looks freaking insane.
Yes,
I gotta
sir.
Say. I mean, you kind of
Gallo for
if Gleyber Torres can be a guy that hits for average. And you have such a good mix of players in that lineup. It's just nasty. I mean, I mean, God, if they all stay healthy, that is just as good as Toronto's lineup, I got to say. Maybe like, you know, you got Judge as kind of the Vladdy guy. Springer, I guess, could be compared to like Anthony Rizzo. But like, I don't know. I feel like I'm in love with this lineup right now. And I am like kind of okay with the offseason we had. I've reached that conclusion.
I think the people know what me and Isaac have to say about the Yankees. I want to hear Ollie's and then me and Isaac defender stance. So, Ollie, let me know what you think about the Yankees.
Yes.
Terrible lineup.
Shall we go? starting pitching is at least what I focus on. It's suspect behind Cole. It's kind of a top-heavy rotation. Sort
is
of
that
a
what
badly...
they said last year when the Yankee rotation or Yankee pitching staff was the top five in all important categories?
Might be perhaps compared to a badly constructed Jenga tower. I think last year, your man, Jordan Montgomery showed us his peak, not his potential. That was not the beginning of
really?
A great breakout. That was
Isaac!
Peak.
Isaac, well, go off!
That was his peak.
Well, whoa,
Isaac, go crazy.
Stop right there, buddy. Do you know how many starts Jordan Montgomery, where he had a quality start that the Yankees could not hit for him or do anything? I mean, I would say that Jordan Montgomery has such a high ceiling.
It's criminal that he didn't have double-digit wins.
Let's look at how many times he went past 5 innings.
And also, he figured out a changeup that is on the exact same plane as his fastball, drops off the table. He figured out a curveball with last year that was one of his best pitches, had like a really good whiff rate.
I think Ollie got the two key words confused. He showed potential, not peak.
What?
He showed potential, not peak.
Yeah,
I don't think I did.
If you reverse those, maybe. Jordan Montgomery is one of the most underrated pitchers in the AL.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, uh-huh. I got to say, I think this year he's going to really show up, like, who he is
breakout
and why he's good. And he's, you know, I mean, maybe. I don't know.
You know, he
give
could
us,
be.
Give us why you're, you don't
I'm
think
sorry to interrupt
you're not buying on Jordan Montgomery.
Hey, you know, Jordan Montgomery, he could be a good number four. He could be a good number four. I would take him as a good number four. He has some cute pitches. Changeup is really sweet. It's a sweet pitch. I think I saw him get above 92 once or twice.
What number three?
This is coming from a dude who has Rich Hill as his number four, 42-year-old journeyman. Come on, man.
Yeah, okay.
Jordan Montgomery and Rich
can
Hill.
Can you find me?
Go ahead.
Jordan Montgomery had
like,
about.
Find me another four in the league that is.
Jordan had about
go
like
ahead.
Four quality starts last year. And I mean, hey, man, four quality starts is something.
That's what baseball
you know
is
what?
At this point. You don't go six innings.
Well, if he's a five-inning guy, then sure, I'll take him for that. But that's not how I grade a number two starting pitcher. You want someone else in that rotation who can take innings beside Garrett.
He's not a
Garrett
number
Cole.
Two right now.
Where do you think he is? Slots in,
you're saying
three
he's a number
or four.
Two?
He's a three or four.
Okay, sure. I like him as a three or
he
four.
He is a great three or four. Look,
he's a
I
solid
three. I definitely
have Sevi
at two.
I thought you just said that you
he's
didn't
an acceptable
like him.
Three or four. But he's not your CC. He's not your Pettit. He's not your David Wells. He's
that's
like your 2015 John Neese.
I didn't
that's
say that.
That's not what
he's okay,
I didn't
I'm
say
just
that.
Saying. Okay.
Don't talk about Monty like that.
You're coming at the wrong dude about Monty.
I clearly did not realize what I was getting into talking to Jordan Montgomery. Man,
he touched a nerve.
I have lit a firecracker over here. Moving on, past Jordan.
Moving on, talk shit
about
DJ.
Let's talk about Luis Severino. Huge potential, huge risk. I saw him pitch with Ken last year, and he showed a pretty filthy changeup against the Sox. And if he has a three-pitch combo, dude could be nasty again. I definitely see him having an ERA under four pretty much guaranteed, but I don't think he's going to make 30 starts and probably not a full 162 innings. So, yeah, still talented.
Okay,
so.
I agree with you there.
Definitely not excited.
I think
what
the Yankees
gonna
are going to baby him, definitely.
Yeah, I think so too. He's going to be nasty against Dorian Martinez too with that. The change piece gives him that arm side pitch he never really had before. And he was nasty before even without it, but he has now that solid arm side pitch, which is going to take pressure off his slider too. So if he unlocks that and stays healthy, he could approximate what he was in 2018 and 2017.
Don't forget how good he was in 2018 and 19, or 18 and 17.
Oh, yeah.
Ollie's getting nervous over here talking about Red Sox Yankees.
Everything. I am not. I am the picture of calm, actually. He was excellent in 2017, 2018. He sort of fell off, had his Tommy John. Did he have Tommy John? He did, right?
Yeah. He didn't fall off.
Has injury trouble.
An injury.
Can we?
Anyway, moving on. So, Tyone is your, I guess, your number four guy.
Okay.
Average less than five innings per start. You know, you don't really like that. His stuff is, frankly, mediocre. His curveball looks pretty at times, but had a weighted on base of 309, which is like
you want to look at that
bottom
stretch,
10% now for curveball.
10 start
best,
stretch in
best
July.
Best pitcher
and
in the AL. Yep.
For 10.
Best pitcher in the AL.
What are you talking about right now? Are we talking about the same Jameson Tyone? The
he
same
went
guy?
9-1 with a sub 2 ERA.
Which stretch could you possibly
he won
at?
Pitcher
of
give
the
me,
month.
Give
in
me
July.
The dates. Give me the dates.
It was July, beginning of August, maybe even.
July. Okay, I think I see the stretch you're looking at. I think you're thinking from here to here. I think you're looking at a.
It was a
seven start stretch where he had a 1.25 ERA with a FIP of 3.31. So that's a huge gap right there, majorly concerning. A lucky stretch for him. So you ran into some good
I was
luck.
Concerned
when
he was
good
giving
job,
us
Jameson.
Quality starts. I was concerned.
A while. I was like, do well against the, Orioles and Royals and Marlins. Good job. Good job, Jameson. I'll give him applause for that. He gets his props.
Uh-oh. I need you, Isaac, buddy.
What do you say?
He's in and out right now. He says he's concerned.
Okay. Anyway, he's concerned about something. Who knows? We could be probably concerned about how good my arguments are and how he can't possibly rebut them. But don't worry,
Isaac.
You did
your
a good job.
Here.
I'll keep talking. You did fine so bad. Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in Tyone. He needs a better curveball to succeed.
You don't think he can be a solid number four?
I don't think so, man. I think that he showed potential with Pittsburgh when they had that DH that he doesn't really have anymore. He's not going to unlock elite potential with the Yankees, although... He might give you some innings. I don't know. At the back end, I think you should honestly start Michael King over Tyone. I like Michael King way more and his stuff. Domingo Herman. There's a nice puzzle too. There's a guy who shows these flashes of brilliance with that changeup and curveball working. You know?
He's hurt though. He's
and
hurt for a while.
Is he hurt? Oh,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
I missed that. Okay. Well, forget Herman then. Let's move on to Cortez.
Wait. Ken, do you got me back?
We got you back.
Can I say
you
kind of
left
thing?
At a very bad time when you said concerned, and then Ollie took that the wrong way. It was a whole thing going on over here.
Damn, I missed the whole thing. Yeah, I apologize, guys. My Wi-Fi is a little suspect at the moment. I just wanted to say that the fact that you brought up that it was against three subpar teams doesn't make it a less of a start. There are plenty of pitchers who still struggle against bad teams. So I find that a little a weird
Fair
thing
enough.
To point out there. But anyway.
Wow. Oh, strong words, fighting words from Mr. Springer again. Anyway, what was I saying?
No. It's all love.
You were talking about Cortez?
Back to roasting the Yankees. Nestor Cortez, there's another fun option. So he is obviously so much fun to watch. I kind of wish he was on the Sox. He's such a character. Great mustache. Does not have great stuff, though. His
How
mustache is probably
Nestor?
Better than his pitching stuff. I don't hate him.
See,
hey,
this
Nestor,
is people
get out
sleep.
Of here, bro.
No, Ken, he didn't
I
say
think
he hated
people
him.
Sleep. Like, he had an expected ERA of what? His expected ERA was 3.2.
He said his mustache was better than any of his pitches.
Yeah, I'm saying, but I mean, he might be one of these guys like Marcelo Suarez who doesn't rely on stuff. I think he might be succeeding without his stuff. I think he's succeeding on command, on deception.
Okay.
That's true. Say,
on command. He has sneaky stuff. All right, go ahead.
His stuff is okay. He does a good job with how he deceives players, like Ollie said, and how he locates. He throws strikes, and he doesn't give up huge innings due to walks. And honestly, that's all it takes to be a good fifth starter in this league is throwing strikes.
Yeah,
and being
deceptive. I think he's right. He really is the X factor in your rotation for me. He saved you guys last year. And best of all, Boone sometimes stretched him out for like 6 or 7 innings. That was the biggest thing, because I thought at first, oh, he's going to be Cortez, going to do 4 or 5 quality and then be done. But a couple starts, like he had one start, he went 6 innings, struck out 11 guys. I was like, God damn, bro. Okay, Nestor. You know? So when you see things like that, those are the encouraging signs, especially from a young guy who's only 28. Those are the encouraging signs that say, well, he could, in fact, play a similar role that he did last year. Yeah.
All right, before your question, I'm going to need to take an ad break. I got to do an ad read. All right, Isaac, back to your question.
My question. Oh, yeah, this is for both of you, and I'll start with Ken. You answer this first. Does Nestor start a playoff game?
No. Nope. I think I kind of gave it away. All right, go ahead, yeah.
I would say yes, he does start a playoff game.
My argument is that I think...
Wow.
Yeah, I gave it away in my over-under pick. I took the under on Nestor Cortez's starts. I think we set the bar at like 18.5, 19-ish starts. I think he fits into that long relief role as in a playoff roster. In a playoff rotation, you usually go 4 guys deep maximum. I fully expect Cashman to go after another middle of the rotation, if not top of the rotation arm at the deadline. And I see Cole, Seve, if they're not there, then they're not making the playoffs. I see Cole, Seve, and Tyone or Monty making that leap there. And then Frankie Montes rounding it out the rotation at 4. Someone like Frankie Montes. If it's not Frankie, I don't know. Could it be Luis Castillo from the Reds? There's a lot of arms out there that could possibly
I would have Cortez start over Tyone or Monty.
I guess that's where we disagree then, because I think Cortez fits perfectly into a bullpen more than Monty or Tyone fits into a bullpen.
Cortez is more of a gamer than either of those guys.
I'll disagree, but
He's got way more balls than Tyone or Monty.
Monty in that 2020 playoffs game 4 start against the Rays eventual AL champions with the Yankees down 2-1 in that series. Monty took the ball in game four. And went 5 shutty against the Rays. So, I don't know who you're calling that doesn't have game, but I'm taking my chances with Monty. And yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Oh. All right, Isaac. I won the debate. Easy. Done.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, he has no response.
It's not all about. Listen, guys. It's not all about winning. It's about having a productive conversation about 2 good teams in a very competitive division.
Mm-hmm. And look, Ollie took off his Red Sox jersey.
I'm putting it back on. It's hot here, man. It's hot here, Vassar. It's hot here, Vassar.
No. So another thing is I got to say is when I asked you what do you think of the lineup initially 20 minutes ago, you instantly started talking about starting pitching.
I'll talk about the lineup, just as a defense mechanism. On my 40 pages of prep that I wrote,
let me take my
Valdi
jersey off and talk
first.
About the rotation.
Get out of here. Okay. You guys have no idea the preparation that went into this. I have a solid page written about the Yankees lineup. So Gallo, Rizzo, Judd, Stanton, all 40 home run potential. Well, not Rizzo, but all definitely 30 home run potential. All guys who can hit bombs and need to hit bombs. You may have noticed
add Josh Donaldson to that and Gleyber. Potential. I'd give Johnson and Gleyber 30.
I know. Those are just the guys I named.
I don't know if Gleyber has it.
Okay.
You may have noticed, your hitters tend to strike out quite a lot. I think Joey Gallo has this amazing ability to strike out, almost like he's Ken whiffing at my slide piece.
Expected
ball.
Argument
really
about
remarkable.
Joey Gallo's strikeouts. That's just a sign of someone who doesn't really know baseball.
I know, but here, if he doesn't set the home run record, he'll definitely set the strikeout record, and that one you can have for free. I like the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa pickup quite a bit. Hitting 271 on the Yankees is like hitting 330 for the Red Sox, so good for him. He can steal a base. I mean, that's a whole new thing in New York. I don't think you guys have had a stolen base since Jacoby Ellsbury's on your team. And, you know, Donaldson, you know, he's 36, but I think he genuinely has – his exit velocity numbers were really good last year. He probably has 2 years of above-average play left. And also, you still have Miguel Andujar, right, back there as third base depth. So – that's a huge option for you guys.
Oh, outfield, first base, Morrow.
My big concern with your lineup is comparing to the Red Sox that you're depending on five guys: Gleyber, LeMahieu, Gallo, Higgy, and honestly Rizzo to have bounce back years to like be better than they were by a great margin. Whereas the Red
Sox. Wait, say those guys again. Say those guys again.
Gleyber,
Rizzo, bounce back.
Say those guys again. Well, I want to hear.
Gleyber, LeMahieu, Gallo, Higgy, Rizzo.
Gleyber. Okay, I wouldn't say Higgy's a bounce back. I think the Yankees.
Higgy's a please catch the ball and talk to the pitchers.
I think the Yankees are fine with Higgy as just a defense guy and
So you're okay having him be an out in the lineup?
Yeah, I think I'm not okay with it. I think the Yankees are okay with it, and that's their plan.
If that's what you want to say, sure. I just think Rizzo was not as good as you hoped he would be when he came over. Not that he was terrible, but I think you definitely wanted a lot more out of Rizzo than you got. So I think, in order for him to work as, I guess, the 6 or 7 hitter, you want him to be much more in the 120, 130 OPS plus range as opposed to 110.
And I think he can get there.
Sure, maybe he can get there, but let me just finish. So that's the reason that in comparison to the Sox lineup, where you really only need one or two bounce backs, there's just a difference between like wanting five bounce backs versus wanting two. Like, you guys are depending on people reverting to where they were earlier in their careers. You really need Gleyber to... And it might be easier now that he doesn't have to worry about playing shortstop to focus on his swing.
I have a couple arguments for that. That is true. I think a lot of Yankee fans are talking about the question marks in the lineup. But in terms, I just want to take these players one by one. Rizzo, I think I have the most confidence in bouncing back. If you look at just his baseball reference page, he hasn't had an OPS plus under 100 since he started playing first base regularly for the Cubs. So I think that is a given that he's up there. Give us something like an 800 OPS, around an 800 OPS, 120 OPS plus. I have full confidence in Rizzo. DJ LeMahieu, I kind of want to give it off to Isaac for that. He had a sports hernia, herniated disc in his back last year, which was really the main reason why he kind of fell off. But if you look at his stats again, it was just 2 years ago where he was an MVP candidate. So I think that's Isaac, if you want to talk about DJ.
Yeah. So, one thing I'm really pissed at the Yankees about is that they're kind of playing mental games with DJ. But the thing is, I think DJ can handle the mental games, and that's the thing.
He's shown that he's handled it before.
Exactly. And so he's had two MVP seasons with the Yankees and one bad one, and he's already not in the starting day lineup. But if you look at it, in his first year here, he wasn't in the starting day lineup, and he ended up having, you know, what was he, top five in MVP voting?
Top two the first year.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be DJ's comeback year, and the question is, who's out? Because if Donaldson is not performing or gets injured, or Glaber's not performing, DJ slots in there and finishes the season. I think that DJ got a little bit away from himself, like maybe just looking at all those power hitters in New York, like, I don't know, messed up his swing somehow, and obviously you have the injuries.
I don't know. I think it's the injury. He was fine when he was looking at the power hitters in the first 2 years.
But I just think that you need to slot him into an everyday role, bat him first, let him do his thing, let him figure it out again, because he has way too much potential, and he has shown that he has.
Last year wasn't as bad as people think he was. He had a .350 on base percentages, which is pretty solid for a leadoff hitter.
This is my guy DJ, but he had one of the worst fall-offs from season
in
to
terms
season
of stats,
in any player.
If you look at inside the numbers, his hard hit percentage was barely any different.
Because he doesn't hit the ball that hard.
He wasn't different from his MVP year, which is not just kind of
okay. Isaac, buddy, you're doing my job right now. Don't work so hard, man. That's my job.
I understand his launch angle. People say he grounded out way too much last year. His launch angle was like 1 degree off from his MVP years. If you look into the numbers, he wasn't far off. I know he lost a little thump in that bat. I think it's literally just the injury. I have really good confidence in him bouncing back.
I think that the moment that Gleyber struggles to start the season, I think DJ's in there, and I think he's taking advantage of that opportunity. And that's nothing to hate on Gleyber. I want Gleyber to succeed really bad, but another thing, for that DH role, I don't know. If Josh Donaldson is not performing, I think you gotta put DJ in, and we'll see.
Yeah, bro. But what we learned last year about the Yankees. Sorry to interrupt, but what we learned last year is that as amazing as Judge and Stanton are together, ranking 1-2 in the league in exit velocity and shit, they're incredible numbers. They don't carry the offense on their own. So it's not just when I say you're looking for guys to bounce back. What do you mean they
don't carry the offense on their own?
Well, no, they did. They did carry the offense, but it wasn't enough to put the Yankees in first place. I mean, they scored, 740 runs? It was like, I'm saying that they proved that, let me clarify. They proved that they can carry the offense, but it's going to be a much lesser offense. It's an offense that only scores 711 runs, where they should be like high 800s. So that's why when you say you need guys to bounce back, it's not that you need guys to bounce back and support Judge Stanton. You need them to have an offense at all. You need LeMahieu to be back to being high 300 level, 300 hitting LeMahieu. So it's big. It's huge.
I agree. I agree with you.
I agree with you. But I think bouncing back is kind of a big word. Like, I think it's not more bouncing back. It's more of a just going back to the mean. I think last year was an outlier for a lot of these players. You cannot expect these guys to perform the way that they did last year, considering their age. And their physical ability at the point of their career. Like Joey Gallo, when he came over to the Yankees, I think he had like a 90 OPS plus. There's no way he repeats that. Gallo's gonna Gallo. You can count on that. Donaldson, I think is a question mark because of his age, but hasn't shown any signs of regression. I think Hicks and Glaber are the two guys that really need the bounce back. In the term you're using it. Everyone else, I have pretty good confidence that they'll regress. Back to the mean.
If Hicks doesn't produce, within the first month, I'd say he's out of the everyday lineup. Because then you can move Giancarlo to right field, you move Judge to center, or Gallo to center, and then you have that open DH spot. And maybe I know it sucks because DJ is the Gold Glover, but maybe you move him to that slot. The thing about this Yankees lineup is you have so many options. Like, there's so many good players at like a lot of the infield positions that like it's like, how do you build a lineup at like every day? Like, I have no idea like what the lineup is going to be day to day.
It's a great question for Boone to have, and usually those questions figure themselves out. But it's not a bad question.
Yeah,
it's not a bad issue to have.
But my prediction would be that DJ LeMahieu would be in the starting lineup over Aaron Hicks within the first month.
I don't know if
you guys want to talk. You guys want to talk bullpen?
Sure, I love the bullpen.
I'd love to talk bullpen.
It's like asking a kid if they want candy. Yeah, go for it.
So here's a question for you guys: do you think Michael King,
yeah,
my favorite Yankees pitcher, belongs in the bullpen or the rotation?
Jinx.
My King.
Where
does he belong?
Isaac,
it's a good question.
Do you want me to go?
I got it. I think for right now, he is a bullpen player to start the season, and I think he'll be moved to the spot start kind of guy a little further down when eventually
someone gets injured.
His
internet wants me to.
Or even is having a rough stretch. But can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you back.
Okay. I think Michael King belongs in the bullpen to start the season, and then that's not a bad thing. He is a great guy to come out of the bullpen for 3 to 4 innings to save a game for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. But I think for right now, that's his spot.
All right.
Yeah, good point.
King. I see him as a back end of the bullpen guy at the end of the year. I think they should just stop starting him. When he moved to that seventh inning role, sixth inning role, when the Yankees lost a lot of their back end bullpen guys to injury last year and COVID stuff, his fastball velocity ticked up 2-3 miles per hour. He was averaging 97, 98-ish from the bullpen at the end of the year. He learned that Kluber ball from Kluber, and he just looked absolutely filthy with those two pitches. And I think he can turn into a Clay Holmes-type guy, Jonathan Loaisiga-type guy at the back end of the bullpen if you just consistently throw him in the seventh and sixth inning on, maybe like a Chad Green-type guy. I don't know if they should continue doing this. Oh, you're in the rotation 1 week, but then you're in the bullpen next week. I don't know if that's good for his career. So
He needs stability.
Exactly. So that's just my take. I think he's good back into the bullpen guy.
Yeah, I would disagree with you guys there. I think he's good for the rotation. Yeah. I think he has stuff that can play both for strikeouts and for ground balls. Like the sinker is nasty, could be a great ground ball pitch. And as you said, the Kluber ball could be a strikeout pitch. So he profiles as a starter for me in the future. I think he could even be a fantasy pickup this year later. Go ahead.
I don't disagree. I think if you want to start him though, you just have to like he's number five starter and you go take it. Like I don't like this like back and forth thing is what I'm.
No, me neither. He should be your number five starter. And because I like young pitchers so much, I think it's a shame when they don't get spots in the rotation and give them to guys like James and Tyone.
I don't think it's a bad thing that he's not starting. I don't think the Yankees are punishing him for. I think they found a role and it fits him really well, and they're giving him the best position to succeed. I think that's what it is. That's how I look at it, at least.
Yeah, same.
All right, enough about Michael King.
They found the seventh inning. Okay.
Your bullpen is still solid. Every year you guys put the bullpen together. I don't know how. Like once you had Ottavino and Betances and Canely, and now you have Loaiza and Litchi and Green and all these clowns. I don't know where you find them, but they are nasty. I mean, Clay Holmes was even better last year than the numbers showed. He left stuff on the table, and Loaiza had like a 2.17 expected ERA. I saw him give up that lead to the Red Sox, but that was like his only bad game. So yeah, if your starters can somehow manage to hold the lead to the late innings, then you can have a bridge to Chapman, and he might not even be the closer by the end of the year. But
that's a big conversation in Yankee land.
You guys gotta depend on that bullpen, and I think you can. I think Boone's gonna ride it again. Although I don't know why you traded away Joely Rodriguez. He was your best lefty.
No, he wasn't. That was bizarre. No.
Who was better besides Wandy, Chapman or
Wandy?
Wandy.
Wandy and Licky. Wandy, dude, look at Wandy's numbers, especially when he was in.
I've been looking a lot at Wandy's numbers.
Joely Rodriguez can't throw against righty batters.
Wandy is so underrated.
Peralta does not have a good strikeout to walk rate. Maybe that doesn't matter as a reliever, but he does not.
No. And I'm excited for Miguel Castro. Another sinker baller, 98, 99.
They're going to find something with him.
Give him to Matt Blake and take it away, Matt.
Bro, Wandy had a 4.39 FIP last year, and his ERA was way deflated.
Is that with the Yankees or with the Giants combined?
Fully with the Yankees. In those 42 innings.
He had a lot of walks, a lot of strikeouts. Reliever ERA and FIP, I don't believe in too much. They can have one bad outing where they give up 5-6 runs. It's just so fucked up.
But dude, if you only strike out 7.4 per 9 innings, that's not how relievers...
He's not a strikeout guy. He's strictly a ground ball, get me a double play.
And he throws strikes.
And he throws strikes, and he's cute.
And I was going to say, he's adorable.
Well,
and he responds on Twitter.
We know how well Q translates into outs in the playoffs. So good for you guys.
All right.
But also those great young arms, Luis Gil, Davey Garcia and company, they might show up this year. Yeah. So there's a lot of potential power there.
Let's go to awards.
Okay.
Can we go to awards? Because that leads perfectly into my rookie of the year, which I have as Luis Hill. And I know that's a little I don't know. That he's not going to start with the team. And we don't really know how many starts he's going to get, but I think that from what we saw last year, he is not fazed by the Bronx. He has great stuff, and he just needs to work on command a little bit. So as my rookie of the year, I have Luis Hill.
All right. Ollie, rookie of the year for the Yankees?
I also had Luis Hill with his 30% strikeout rate.
You guys collusion, man. What the fuck's going on?
We did not, but Luis feels pretty good. So he was, and I love pitchers. So, yeah, I was going to go with Luis Hill. What about you, Ken?
I have Jose Peraza, the highly touted shortstop of the Yankee farm system.
As rookie of the year?
Yep. Oh, I think by the end of this year, Kiner Falefa... What's up?
Jose what?
Oh, not Jose Peraza. Oswald Peraza.
Oswaldo.
That's what.
Oswald Peraza. Sorry, there's so many. Don't even know that. Oswald, the... Oswaldo.
Ken doesn't even know the top 10 prospects. Wow.
Oswald Cabrera. Oswald Cabrera. That's actually another Oswald. Oswald Peraza is my rookie of the year pick. I think by the end of the year, Kiner Falefa gets bumped to that super utility bench guy. And I think the Yankees are also hoping for this. And Peraza steps in as that shortstop. I think he can. I don't know about his defense alone, I think, could put up some numbers in terms of wins above replacement. If he just hits league average 270. I don't know, power here and there, 775 OPS maybe. I think that takes the rookie of the year for the team.
Got you.
Next award, do you want to do Isaac?
Let's go Cy Young, and then let's go MVP, and then let's do breakout, and then yeah. Actually, you know what? Let's do Cy Young for everyone.
Oh, bounce back for Isaac's.
Yeah, let's do bounce back. I have Gleyber Torres. I think that's the easy pick here. I wanted to go DJ LeMahieu, but I just really feel like Gleyber is going to do well. And I know that conflicts with some other things I've said, but like I'm kind of saying the opposite because I want him to do well. So I'm playing mind games with Glaber, even though he's not even, you know, really there. Okay. So bounce by player of the year, I have Glaber. But just know I love you too, DJ.
Ollie.
Do you want all? You want all of mine?
No, I want your bounce back player.
Bounce back.
Oh, bounce back player, Luis Severino.
Like it. My bounce back player, Aaron Hicks, 30-30 guy.
Ooh. Okay. Really?
No, I don't see him doing it. But.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah,
next
these are all fair picks.
Breakout player of the year.
Cy Young.
Cy Young. All right. Who's your Cy Young?
We should all have the same person here. I'll say Garrett Cole on three. Ready? One, two, three. Garrett Cole.
Garrett Cole.
Okay. MVP. Yeah. MVP.
Should we do a 3-2-1 with MVP?
I know this is.
It's
okay,
kind of you
obvious,
know what?
Right? 3-2.
Wait. Let's do MVP in terms of what the term actually means. Most valuable. Who would be the most valuable player on this team?
Well, that's also ambiguous in terms of wins above replacement. That stat or just
no. In ters of fuck.
Okay.
I hate the term MVP because nowadays we just immediately think best player award.
I know, but it's not like that. It's
not like that. Let's do most valuable.
I agree.
Let's take that as
okay. If we're talking finance wise too, who sells the most jerseys and seats, guys? I mean, it's the same player.
Okay, but
I'm kidding. But
you want to go down from three again? That's fun.
No, I think it's three. Yeah, I think we all have the same one. I don't see it. I try to spin it in a way where we could have different players, but
okay, ready? 3-2-1
Aaron Judge.
Isaiah Cortez Jr.
Let's go. I wasn't sure if I should biff it or
no,
not.
It's Aaron Judge. It's obviously Aaron Judge.
Isaiah
best
Kyler
player on the team. Top 10 player. I mean, there's nothing really to say. Judge is the best. He will be a captain. I hope to start the season. I hope they're figuring out a contract right now because I swear to God, if they make him unhappy, they will lose franchise player. He was built to be a Yankee. Make him a Yankee.
Great way to end the Yankee talk. Let's go.
Well, we have awards.
Are we not done with awards?
We forgot one award.
Which one? Breakout.
We have breakout player of the year. And I have Higgy. I have Higashioka.
Okay.
I think that's who Ollie has too. Yeah, I can
also have Higashioka.
All right. Go for it. Take it away with Higgy. Fuck Higgy. Isaac. So we just hear Isaac.
Oh, he's frozen. Okay, I guess I can talk about it. I'll talk about Kyle Higashioka. Kyle Higashioka, underrated player. Pretty good pitch framer last season. He had +3 runs for pitch framing, so he's strong defensively.
Yankees are obsessed.
He's learned
to
manage that pitching staff. Obviously learned how to catch Garrett Cole last year, and that's probably Yankees catch's most important function. But underrated offensively. That dude's hit, like 7 home runs in spring training. So I think his bat is untapped potential. And I just think that because he's no longer has the big fat butt of Gary Sanchez sitting in front of him, he can get out there and start every game. Well, not every game, but a lot of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's one of the more popular picks for a breakout player. I don't know. I didn't know where to go with this. I kind of wanted, is Clay Holmes a breakout? Not really, kind of, because he broke out last year. Mike King. I was looking at these bullpen guys for breakout player of the year. It's kind of hard. It was kind of hard for me to classify if they're breaking out or if they're just difference between bounce back, breakout. I don't know. But I think I'll go Clay Holmes because I think he's going to be a top 5 reliever in the American League. Like, he has the stuff to really break out.
I agree.
Okay. Isaac, you want to say something on Higgy? You kind of just said fuck under your breath.
Yeah. I said I think he figured something out a couple years back with the power. And listen, if he can bat 230 and hit 15 home runs, that's a success. And play good defense.
Breaking news.
What?
Chris Sale has been placed on the 60-day DL. I don't think that's breaking
news. What? Stop that. Stop that right now. Stop with
pitcher
that.
Pitcher unavailable. Seriously? Due to right rib stress fracture. Red Sox select Tyler Danish from Major League roster.
Stop this.
Chris Sale has been placed on the 60-day IL. Boo-hoo.
That's not nice, Ken. Oh, wow.
Brutal, man.
All right.
Can't even say April Fool's.
That's not nice, Isaac.